How to boost workers' pay is shaped up as a key election issue. The opposition leader, Bill Shorten, has confirmed that a Labor government would convert the minimum wage to some kind of living wage, possibly by legislating to change the Fair Work Act. But the Morrison government has its own recipe for increasing wages. Here's the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg.
The way to increase wages is through boosting productivity in our workforces, reducing taxes, investing in infrastructure, opening new free trade agreements, having a cop on the beat in the construction sector like the Australian Building and Construction Commission. You see, Bill Shorten's way to increase wages is to lift taxes across the board. That won't increase wages, that will lower them.
That's the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg. Well, now economists and workplace relations experts have entered the fray. They say that with close to $30 billion set to be handed to investors in the form of dividends between now and June, company boards should redirect some of that cash away from their shareholders and into the pay packets of their employees. Here's our business reporter, David Taylor.
There's always tension between workers and investors over who gets a greater share of the profit pie. Warren Hogan is a professor of industry at the University of Technology Sydney Business School. He says today company shareholders are winning, hands down.
The data and the reality to date shows that there still is a much greater return to capital than there is to labour. And the wage profit share is at an extreme level.
Figures from the online stockbroking firm CommSec back that. They show that from February to June this year, just under $30 billion will be paid to shareholders as dividends. That's up from $22 billion in the February 2018 earnings season. That's an increase of more than 30%. Meanwhile, wage growth across all industries came in at just 2.3% on average last year. John Buchanan is the head of business analytics at Sydney University's Business School. He says even a small redirection of funds from investors to employees would go a long way to solving Australia's low wage growth problem.
It's a big flywheel, don't get me wrong. It's a big flywheel, and it's usually the sector that sets the standard. So wage movements in the big companies actually are reported, and that's what can actually set the reference point for a community wage norm.
Professor Hogan agrees wage growth would rise.
I don't think we have the right balance. I do think that there is too much focus on short-term profitability.
RN Breakfast put that to the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, which represents tens of thousands of small to mid-sized companies right across the country. Chief Executive James Pearson.
As always, as with most things, it's a balance.
Do you accept, though, that if there was a little bit more directed towards employees and away from investors in terms of dividends, there would be a material increase in wage growth in Australia overnight?
It's a matter for individual companies to make that decision, because if the people who run businesses actually get the balance wrong, well, they will go out of business. And then you might find that one person's wage rise ends up costing another person their job. And that's not something that managers want to see.
Warren Hogan concedes the risk of taking profits away from shareholders and giving the cash to workers is that it could lead to higher unemployment.
Now, that's not a sure one. I mean, we could have a system now where, or outcomes now where some intervention can be helpful, whether that's in a minimum wage environment or with broader bargaining powers for people in the workforce. It's not clear, but I think it's always important to remember that artificially boosting a price will have a quantity effect, as an economist would say, and that in this case is potentially for lower employment and higher unemployment.
The Reserve Bank has been part of the debate, outspoken about low levels of wage growth. But the bank insists that productivity is the way to nudge employee pay packets higher. In a speech midway through last year, Governor Philip Lowe noted that productivity was, quote, the key to building on our current prosperity and ensuring sustained growth in wages and incomes. The big problem, argues Professor Hogan, is that productivity growth hasn't budged in years. So now when boards and middle-level managers are working out where they're going to get the biggest bang for their buck, investors are winning out.
And this, of course, is the key to getting substantial and sustained real wage increases, is getting productivity. So the question is, why aren't we getting that productivity growth? I mean, there will be productivity going on in individual companies, in individual industries, but across the economy, and not just in Australia, but around the world, we have unusually low productivity growth.
That doesn't bode well for staff at one of Australia's biggest employers, Wesfarmers, the owner of retail chains including Bunnings, Kmart and Target. RN Breakfast asked the ASX-listed firm if it would consider giving less cash to shareholders and more to employees. A spokesperson said, quote, "Across the group, we have enterprise bargaining agreements, and in the pipeline, that will include wage increases associated with productivity increases." Sydney University's John Buchanan doesn't like linking wage growth to productivity because, he argues, in many industries, it's hard for workers to demonstrate increased productivity.
If we took that approach, you know, hairdressers and barbers would be living on pauper wages. You know, productivity comes from a range of things. We should be looking at the distribution of productivity across a society, not just within the enterprise. And if we take that broader look on the determinants of productivity, we usually get a better outcome.
And the money is now there to be distributed. Around half of companies that just reported their earnings lifted profits, and a similar percentage lifted cash holdings. In fact, total cash held by companies rose by 5% over the year to more than $91 billion. The Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry CEO, James Pearson.
It's a complex discussion, and that's why we're very wary of sweeping statements like, for example, the ACTU's call for a living wage, which would set the minimum wage much, much higher than it currently is at 60% of the median wage, which would actually hit employers across Australia almost $9 billion a year extra without any increase in productivity. That would be a real struggle. And for small businesses who overwhelmingly depend on minimum and award wages, that will send a shiver down their spine.
That's James Pearson from the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, ending that report from David Taylor. After eight, we'll be joined by Sally McManus, Secretary of the ACTU. As David's report mentioned there, the ACTU advocating for a living wage.